We begin now, Daf Kuf Mem Ches, Amud Aleph, Halacha Machzirin Es HaShever. You could reset a break on Shabbos, a full broken or fully dislocated bone. If a bone breaks, you could reset it back into the socket on Shabbos, according to the Pesach of Shmuel, in his version of the Mishnah. The Gemara said the Rav Bar Chana happened to come to Pumpedisa, and he didn't enter Rabbi Huda's shmuz. Rabbi Huda sent for Ada, his attendant, and said to him, "Go schlep him, zil garve, go schlep him to my shir." He went and dragged him to the shir. Rabbi Bar Chana came and found Rabbi Huda teaching that one can't reset a broken bone on Shabbos. And he said to him, "This is what Rabbi Chana Bagdasa of Baghdad said to Shmuel. The halacha is that one could fix it on Shabbos, and that's what you could do." Rabbi Huda said to him, "Amar Shmuel halacha machzir neshemar ha Chana didan. Chana is ours." Meaning everything that was taught publicly in these shmuzes and in the study hall was known to the local chachamim. But nevertheless, the possibility existed that that a chacham would teach a halachic ruling to one of his students, who would in turn give it over only to a few others. So that would have a situation where the chachamim were unfamiliar with a certain teaching at a certain time. Okay, hold on. So that finishes basically to the end of the daf. The mission is at the end of the day, a dislocated limb has to be can be reset. That's at the end, the psak at the end. Hadron Aluch Perek. Hold on. Perek is called Shol Alda Mechavero. The prohibition of commercial activity on Shabbos is one of the earliest known gezeiros by the Chachamim to protect the Torah. And that gezeira is generally explained as a protective measure to prevent writing on Shabbos. Because commercial activity generally requires writing in order to record and approve these transactions. Now, the Torah does not asser activity business on Shabbos. For example, there are many things about business that are asser on Shabbos, like carrying objects from one place to another, fixing kalim, completing their production. The decree that stops you from doing business on Shabbos was already known in the times of the Gemara. So another topic that's going to come here is that kavod abrius, respect for those that are a dead body, taking care of a dead body on Shabbos. There's certain leniencies there out of a kavod to the mace. So the Gemara says, talking again, doing business on Shabbos. Shol adam mechaver kad yayim kad shemen. A person can borrow jugs of wine and jugs of oil from another person on Shabbos, as long as you don't say to the person, halveni, lend it to me. You don't say lend it to me on Shabbos, because that makes it more like a business and someone may come to write it down.
But if you don't say, if you take things, it's stealing.
No, so you ask a person for it, but don't say the word loan it to me.
You don't say loan it
to me.
What do you say to him?
Say, you know, that thing over there, can I use it? Mind if I use it? That, a lashon of loan is more a lashon of business. V'cheina isha mechaverta kikaris, and so too a woman can borrow from another woman loaf of bread on Shabbos. Now, if the lender doesn't trust him that he's going to return it, the borrower could leave something with him, like a collateral. You could leave your shmata, your jacket with him as a collateral, and then you could figure out all the cheshbonos on after Shabbos. You could figure everything out. So what's the difference between let me borrow and let me lend, the Gemara asks. Hashileni, halveni, it's all semantics. What's the difference? So the word let me borrow is not something typical people write down, but lend to me is something where people know to start getting their ledgers out and to write these things down. Okay, hold on. Amru Rabbanan, kol mili diyantiv, kama de efshal ashnuya mashninan. Anything we could do a shuni with, we try to change as much as possible. So you don't directly do this when we don't need to. Tanan, didn't we amr le rabbi chana le rabbi? Didn't we learn Tanan that we learned in a Mishnah that one should not lo mesapkin, lo metapkin, velo meraktim yantiv. You shouldn't clap your hands against your body or dance on yantiv. It's prohibited to dance, clap, or make other noise that accompany a song on Shabbos or Yontif. That was an original, listen to the bottom line. Look, that was original Gzera Derabanan that you may come to make a musical instrument. But the Rambam says, if you do it in a different way, it's mutter. That's why you sometimes see people like this, clapping like that on Shabbos. They do it with a shinoi, they do it like that. And nowadays, people are mutter to do these things because it's better that they do that without realizing that they're violating anything. Meaning, leave people alone. They don't realize anyways. And some poskim say that nowadays, people don't know how to fix or construct musical instruments. All these things are going to be permitted nowadays anyways. Dancing on Yontif and all that. The Hasidisha practice is to clap and to dance on the Shabbos and Yontif. Okay, hold on. The problem with the borrowing loaves of bread, two women, one from another, sounds like it's only an issue on Shabbos, but not during the week. But the Gemara presents the problem that during the week, there might be a problem of Yokru Chitin, let's say the price of wheat goes up. When you give back the loaf, it's going to be interest when you're giving back a similar loaf of bread. So one has to be careful with that. Hashochet et apara, hashochet apara vehichilka barosh Hashana. That one who shechs a cow and divide it among people purchasing a Rosh Hashanah. Hashochet apar v'chilka Rosh Hashanah, one who slaughters a cow and divides it among the people of Rosh Hashanah of the year, that follows Shemitah, right? Talks about purchasing different animals over here. That if a butcher shechted a cow in Rosh Hashanah, immediately following Shemitah, and people bought the meat on credit, and turned out that the first day of Rosh Hashanah was really the 30th day of Elul, the butcher can't demand payment to their debts because it was canceled. It's because the debts were canceled by the conclusion of Shemitah. But a bunch of poskim, the Ravid and others, say that debts owed to a storekeeper are not canceled by Shemitah. Usually Shemitah cancels things in the seventh year that are owed, right? Eino Meshamik. Does it cancel? Does it not cancel? Amar Rabbi Yochanan Makdish Adam Pischo B'Shabbos Chigiz B'Yomtev Zech Erev Yishalayim Shchalis B'Shabbos Maniach Talis V'Nota Pischo V'Osim O'Cheshba L'Achar Yomtev. Meaning on the Erev Pesach in Yerushalayim, what happens on a Shabbos, one who needs to get an animal for a Korban Pesach may leave his cloak with the owner of his collateral, as we said. Mana Chermal Pischo, that's a case maybe we have registered with others to participate in the Korban Pesach. Meaning it's not a personal transaction case, and therefore that's why we're not worried. Mishnah, interesting Mishnah. It says, Mona Adam es Orchov ve es Parparosa Mepiv. One could count his guests who are coming to his meal and his appetizers as long as you do it from memory, but you shouldn't read them from a written list. So the Gemara says a person can draw lots with his children and family members at the table on Shabbos to determine who's going to get which size of food, as long as you don't intend to set aside a large portion against a smaller portion in that lottery. And the portions should be of equal size. And one shouldn't cast lots for the Kohanim on who gets to eat what kachim on Yontif, avalo lemonis, but not for specific portions of stuff. You can cast it for the stuff that's equal for everybody. You could do it that way. The rationale for this, by casting lots, the Kohanim show affection for the mitzvah of eating it. And that's why they used to cast lots. There was a special chavivus that they wanted to win. Just some background ha'aras here. So Meshabet, Shemitah's Ksafim, the Torah requires that all loans should be canceled every 7 years. It says, Shamas Kolbo Mashayado, every creditor who lends anything to his neighbor shall release it. And to demand payment of a loan after the Shemitah year is a violation of an Isser. Most Rishonim rule that Shemitah year cancels loans at the end of the year on the last day of the month of Elul. Hashmatas Ksafim applies Midaraisa only when the Yovel year is in practice. Midarabanan applies today, whether inside or outside of Israel. Shemitah does not cancel debts which have a due date after the Shemitah year, like a 10-year loan, since the creditor is not allowed to demand payment before the due date, and therefore lo yigos is not going to apply. We all say lo marach, and erech refers to a special form of a vow. If a person says, erech ploni alai, I accept upon myself to give the endowment value of such and so to Hekdesh, you have to give the specific value. The Torah designates the person's gender and age group, as stated in Vayikra, and it makes no difference whether the person is healthy, sick, strong, or weak. There are two types of chramim, a type of vow or pledge in which one pronounces this object should be a chayrim. So if the person specifies that he's making a chayrim for bedek abayis, a chayrim, then it becomes chayrim for bedek abayis. If he specifies it should be a chayrim for kohanim, then it becomes a chayrim for kohanim. Some deeper ha'aris here to make on this daf, the loaded daf. The Mishnah says that a person borrows an item on Shabbos, he should ask to borrow by saying hashileni, not halveni. And the difference between the two is Hashileni refers to borrowing an object that will be returned exactly as it lent. Halveni refers to borrowing an object that will not be returned itself, but something else of equal value will be returned in its place. What difference does it make what term one uses? So Rashi says that one must use only a term that shows that he intends to borrow the item for a short period of time. And the Rabbanan were concerned that he uses a term which shows that he intends to borrow for item for a long period of time, the lender might make a written record of the loan on Shabbos. And the Ritva said the one's not much or even to state Halveni for a short amount of time. Ritva and Tosfos Ritza, the ones not permitted to say even Hashileni, since most people don't know the difference between Hashileni and Halveni. And Maravar, in our case, in our Mishnah, the person is not actually borrowing the item, rather he's buying it and intends to pay for it. The Shulchan Aruch paskins the opinion of Rashi. He quotes the opinion of the Ran, who says that when common language does not differentiate, one should make some change in the normal way they say it. The Mishnah Brewer quotes the Prima Godim, who says that even when one borrows an item of mitzvah, such as a sefer, one should not use the term that one normally does with that. The Gemara says that when one sees someone else transgressing a biblical rabbinical prohibition without knowing that the act is usher, he should not rebuke the wrongdoer if he knows that the wrongdoer will continue to sin. Mutav shiu shogim al yomazidim. That principle does not apply to prohibitions written explicitly in the Torah, in which case one must rebuke the wrongdoer even if he knows the wrongdoer will continue to sin. So the poskim set forth the practical details. For example, a person shouldn't rebuke someone who willfully sins. Even if he feels certain the guy's not going to listen. But if the wrongdoer is transgressing a prohibition that is written explicitly in the Torah, it's assumed that he knows that it's forbidden and that he's sinning intentionally. If one sees that the wrongdoer does not accept the rebuke, then one should continue to rebuke him until the wrongdoer gets upset and yells at him. But that rebuke should be administered in private and not in public. And the Bir Halacha writes in the name of the Sefer Hasidim that one isn't required to rebuke a wrongdoer until the wrongdoer yells at him, unless he feels close to that person. From the fact that Mishnah says that one may not borrow bread on Shabbos by using the term halveni, the Gemara infers that one is permitted to borrow bread during the rest of the week, even without assessing the value of the bread. And the Gemara says that the Mishnah does not agree with the opinion of Hillel, who holds that one must first assess the value of the bread in order to avoid any question of paying with interest. So why does the Gemara merely infer that the Mishnah maintains that one is permitted to borrow the bread during the week without assessing its value? So Rav Mordechai Karp, in his notes on the Rashba, suggests two other answers. First of all, the Rashba says that even Hillel agrees that one may borrow bread on Shabbos by saying Hashileni without assessing its value, because Hashileni implies a short-term loan, and there's no fear that the price of wheat will rise in that short amount of time. So the Magen Avraham says that for the sake of giving honor to Shabbos, one is permitted to borrow money with a form of interest that is prohibited midirabanan. Therefore, the fact that one may borrow a loaf of bread on Shabbos does not show that one is permitted to do so during the week. Rav Moshe Mordechai Karp adds that Tosfos says that Hillel himself would permit one to borrow bread with the term Hashileni. He only prohibits using the term Halveni because the term makes it look like a real loan to which the laws of interest apply. And that might be also Rashi's intent over here.